Start. Welcome back, everyone. And this is Dr. Jack Blanchard, The Light to a Better Life. I'm Donna Smith, and I'm here with Leon Malger. And we are ready to take you further into helping you make good decisions that doesn't offend our Lord and Savior by discussing the Ten Commandments.
Well, hello, everybody. Last week, you know, we did discuss the seventh commandment, which is thou shalt not steal. And, you know, we gave it that title. I'm just borrowing it. But we remind you that if the owner, you know, doesn't know that you took it, then it's stealing. Oh, gee, I meant to tell you about that. And that's about what would happen to you if you did get caught stealing. So today, we want to also remind you that you can ask us questions via our website, drjackslantern.com, or utilize our wonderful private meetings. Now, that's a way to get together no matter where you live. It's a virtual breakout rooms, gather with a group together to start discussions on how to live a better life using God's letter and a life to a better life, and the Bible telling us what will be, get us in trouble and how to get out of trouble. And, you know, our private virtual conferencing meeting, it's allow you to get with your friends who you maybe have met on social media or maybe some of the people that you have gotten in touch with, and they're all over the United States, your roommates out of college, your roommates in high school, and get in touch with them. And in real time, face-to-face, in the privacy that you will be aligned with and giving yourselves time to spend talking about the Lord.
And one of the features that we have by using our particular system, it really is private. And people don't understand that. If you can do FaceTime and things, but that's up in the cloud and people can hack that and get to it, and it's sitting there and it's hackable, I guess is what I want to say. And these are very private. You know that you can get in that private meeting without anybody ever and record it, but it also allows you to pull up our podcast or Dr. Jack Blanchard, what he has to say, and form a discussion. So we really like what we're trying to create here for other people so that they themselves can get together. The Bible is the basis for making good decisions in our lives. God gave us the instructions to guide us on our path back to Him and staying on His side in this war against evil.
You know, that's because we understand, being humans, just looking around, using our five senses and some critical thinking, it's obvious. We are in a war against evil. This is the real war that's going on. And we want you to be victorious. We want you to overcome this. And that's why you're here today. And that's why we are here today, to help you in this battle. And even if you can you entertain a thought without accepting it? Well, those are the things that we want to talk about today. You know, our belief system develops our filters for what we want to entertain or what we want to accept as a thought. So if we make sure that it's aligned with God, then it is key. It's great. And obeying those Ten Commandments, that's the start of our journey, sanctification, you know, setting us apart from others, filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, not falling away from God, not disobeying His commandments. Let's not disrupt that journey of sanctification. You know, God loves us so much. He'll forgive us, even the wicked ones of us, if we go to Him and confess with an open heart and a promise never to do that again. You remember, you know, God is full of grace, and He always delights in His mercy.
You know, Leon, when you mention, when we're talking about, you know, making decisions and that belief system and all, there are three states. We mentioned in previous podcasts about Louisiana passing a law showing the Ten Commandments, and Texas and Oklahoma, we're going to follow suit. Well, the superintendent of Oklahoma, he told the press this past week that there is a lack of understanding about the country's history and the influence of that the Bible has on the U.S. Since the birth of the U.S., and therefore he's requiring all public schools in Oklahoma to incorporate the Bible and the Ten Commandments into their curriculum for grades 5 through 10. So I think that it really goes to saying, hey, we're losing our belief system. We're losing our foundation. We're not winning the fight against evil. We're not siding with God. And part of that is because of what's happened over the years of not putting this belief system, these right things, what America was built on. And I believe in future podcasts, we'll go ahead and discuss how scriptures in the Bible were used by our founders to form our republic as a nation of laws and not of kings.
That's right. And it's so important to understand that all our laws, the founders, they used the Bible to create those laws of freedom that we are so beautifully endowed with today in our country. But, okay, today we're going to discuss the Eighth Commandment. You shall not bear false witness. Wow. Bearing false witness. You know, that means you provide testimony or lies about someone which causes them harm. It could harm their individual reputation. It could harm relationships. It could harm their well-being.
Now, these lies, these actions can have serious emotional, social, sometimes even legal consequences for both the person who's bearing the false witness, lying, and the victim. And I think that's why we decided to title this podcast from Sir Walter Scott's epic poem, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive."
Wow.
The quote means that lying or acting dishonestly can create a complex, difficult, and confusing situation or thing. And that's what we want to discuss today. We want to talk about those problems that you have when you lie, when we bear false witness.
You know, we'll also point out some of the many different ways one bears false witness to his neighbor. You know, Jesus preached, "Love your neighbor as I have loved you." And we humans have taken this sin to a new levels. And you know why, Donna? It's because we have that problem, ego. That's
yes.
Our problem. Man's ego. Boy, I'll tell you, that causes sin. An ego, an inflated feeling of pride, being superior to others. Yes, that's me. I'm bigger and better than you. But one very important message I have for you today. Never forget what I'm telling you now. You can never make yourself look good by making others look bad.
Yeah, people do that all the time. You know, they don't want to give a compliment because they think by giving you a compliment saying how great you are makes me look bad. And that's not true at all. I have to tell you, in the New York Times, there was an article where they did a survey and they reported that 91% of the people that they surveyed, 91% of them confessed that they regularly do not tell the truth. Now, that was back in 1996, and I'll tell you, 28 years ago, I hate to even imagine if they did the same survey today. I bet you we'd get, what, 98%, 99%?
maybe even 110% by the way they're going.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, though, it's so commonplace that people just don't even understand, they don't even think that they're saying something bad about a person. They don't think about it anymore. It just happens. And it's so many ways we do that. But you know, Don, it's not always been like this in America. You know, we become numb to the point that we don't even care what we talk about our neighbor. Why is that? Because there's no retribution if you're using social media. So people get their stuff off on other people. And that is a win for the devil, absolutely.
Again, and we're trying to help people to see that you want to be on the side of God, not the devil. It truly points to us being a society long ago was that a man's word was his bond. You know, you could see in old movies, they'd shake on it, and that would be all. There was no piece of paper, they would shake on it. And now we're actually a society that accepts the exaggerations, the fabrications, the misstatements and misrepresentations. We actually accept that. We are lying. We are bearing false witness, and we're accepting it all.
Yeah, I think in our everlasting quest as humans to always feel good, Well, sometimes we get a kick out of listening to that stuff. You know, we laugh at it. We laugh at the fabrication. We laugh at the exaggerations about others, and that's wrong. You know, politicians have a new lock on that. That's yeah. for sure. They have their own way of lying and bearing false witness to people, for certain.
Attorneys,
but you know, lobbyists. They do that a lot, and we know because we can see it all the time on television. They mm-hmm. and they bear false witness, but they've got an excuse. Then they made up this word. They say, "I misspoke." That's a lie. That's a way of saying, right. "Oh, gee, I lied, but I didn't lie really bad." That really sets me off. You know, right. we're a society of euphemisms. I mentioned that before. The politicians, boy, they're very skilled at this evil and sin. In such a way, it's so obvious for us that we, those of us that use critical thinking, we can see right through that.
Yes. And you know, there's that Snopes thing that, you know, supposedly when people spread things out and they go, oh, that's not true. And Snopes would come in saying, yes, it is. And is that, do you know that it took 7 years for Snopes to come out and went, no, that's right. We that was not truth. It was a quote that people were passing around that President Trump said, and he did not say that. They took it completely out of context. He didn't say that. And Snopes took 7 years to retract that they said, oh, yes, it is true. 7 years.
Wow. Oh, you know, it's almost insane that they do that, and they try to control all of the things that we have to believe in. And how can you believe in things like that? Well, look at last week's debate between the two presidents. You know, it's very, very sad, and it's very undisturbing. But the things that are said, the lies that are said, one of the things that CNN announcer said about President Biden, he says, you know, you can't unring that bell. You can't put that toothpaste back in the tube because whatever came out of his mouth is everybody knows about it, not only the world, not only the United States, but also in the world. You know, this confusing world of lies and deceit.
Yes.
Dr. Jack, he said to me a long time ago, the only way to true wisdom is to study God's word.
The whole problem that people don't understand when you lie, when you bear false witness, when you do things that harm others, they don't realize the consequences, the things that happen. There was a story of a father, and he had a son who had told a bunch of lies and bad words about one of the neighbor kids, and he was, you know, spouting off at all kinds of things, and he got in trouble. And the father said, here's your punishment. And he sent him to the shed and said, go pick out a hammer and a box of nails, like 100 nails. And he says, that fence over there, I want you to put all those nails in that fence, hammer all those nails in the fence. So he did. The kid did it. Took him probably a little more than an hour. And then he came back to his dad and says, okay, I did it. Am I, you know, through my punishment? He goes, oh, no, no. Now go back and remove all those nails.
Huh.
So then, you know, it even took longer to pull the nails out. And he comes back to his father and he says, okay, I don't understand why I did it. And he says, all the lies and the things that you said about these people, those hurtful words, and whether you thought they were hurtful or not, they were lies and, again, fabrications, misrepresentations, all the words that everybody, I misspoke, as the politicians would say. Those are the nails. And he said, now you said you're sorry. And you think that fixes the problem by saying you're sorry. Well, guess what? Look at that fence. It's still full of a lot of holes. The damage has been done. Just because you said you're sorry and you pulled those nails out doesn't mean the damage, the hurt, hasn't been of reputation or all kinds of things hasn't been done. So people forget that those are the consequences.
You know, people can forgive, but that is a lesson that you can forgive, but you won't forget.
Right.
That's what you leave with people. You leave that scar with them. You know, I mentioned before, Donna, the devil's winning big with this attack on man's ego. It begins early, you know, mocking, intimidating. So, oh, look at the color of shoes he's got, or, you know, little things like that kids really get off on. They like to do that in derogatory ways. Mm-hmm. And then there's false accusations. You're accusing someone of something they didn't do. What's tied to spreading rumors? Same thing. False stories, damaging someone's reputation. Sometimes people really enjoy doing that. And that leads to what? Gossiping. Backstabbing. Those two are similar. But one shares information that may not be true about another, leading to a misunderstanding and a conflict. And the other is, if it's a friend of yours, it's backstabbing.
Yes, and like when you said they, you know, they mimic someone or they dislike them. Oh, you've got a funny pair of shoes. Then they'll turn around and go further with it and say, well, they probably couldn't afford it. They stole it. And there you go. You just started bearing false witness. And all of this leads to like a lack of common courtesy, because think about it. We want everybody to think about this. When you badmouth others, when you tell a lie or fabricate different stories, how do you think it affects that person? Now that person has no trust and feeling, and social courtesy, it's like just being nice, goes out the window because you've been badmouthing a person. It's disrespectful in so many ways.
You know, we're society. It's indoctrinated. We've been indoctrinated since we were born through the news, the television, social media, other forms of communication. They all bear false witness. And they say that, oh, it might not be a bad thing. Because what we do, we get your attention. And what gets people's attention, Donna? Not good news, bad news. That's what sells newspapers, bad news. And so what they want to do is they want to make sure they sell those newspapers. So what they do is they don't have any problem bearing false witness against everyone. You know, with one of the songs that the Eagles play, it's about kick them when they're up, kick them when they're down. It's about the news people, what they treat people on the news.
It's so sad. And you know, Leon, I want to know, why do we accept this? Why are people allowing that? I sit there going, is it because it lowers the standards? So now, therefore, when I measure myself, the yardstick is so low that I look good because it's that low. I can, I don't lie that much. I don't bear false witness that much. These guys are doing it all the time. We shouldn't be accepting this. This is wrong.
You know, I don't think God grades on a curve. So as far as comparing ourselves with other people, I think that's the wrong road to go down. And I think you and I know that, Donna, because once we start comparing ourselves to other people, then we might as well join those groups, those peers, and let those people think for us. Because, you know, we live in a society that's more comfortable for us not to have to think. We don't need to think because everybody is thinking for us. So what happens? We make spot judgments about others, even if we're not certain about the facts. Remember, Socrates said, when wise men speak when they have something to say, fools, because they have to say something.
There, Jesus had said in the New Testament, he says, the path to perdition, hell, everything is wide. People are going down the wide path because, like you said, everybody's doing it. It's easier this way or whatever. And he says, path to me is small and narrow. So go through that narrow gate, follow the narrow path. And it really should be a way for us to kind of think about something where we're trying to get people to stop and think one or two steps ahead. We talk about the three C's, you know, choices, circumstances, and those consequences. And if you stop and think about that for a second, I look at it going, here's an easy way. If everybody's doing it, stop and think. Is it really the right way, or is it the wide path and the wide gate that Jesus warned us about?
You know, that's our freedom of speech. That's our constitutional right. We know that. But it's another of many ways that man takes advantage of itself through, you know, the consent of the evil one. Of course, he's always dealing with this problem of it's so widespread about people making lies and telling untruths about other people just to make themselves feel better. And it really has snowballed into the point where it is really degrading. In the United States that we live, it's a shame that we have to put up with this.
I agree. I want people to think about it. Do you think lying and bearing false witness and accepting all these fabrications that people are talking about just by listening to it? You know, we need to stop people. And, you know, when they go on to that tangent, does it make us feel safer? That's a real good question. Do you feel safe with another person knowing that they lied? There's that trust factor again. You know, we talked about that with adultery in the Sixth Commandment when we talked about that podcast. Blowing that trust between a marital couple, I mean, that really is very, well, lying is the same thing, and that is a lie. Without trust, there's no glue, okay? And ultimately, no safety for closeness in any relationship whatsoever. In fact, there is a breakdown currently now going on with the food industry. You would think the food industry, okay, what are you talking about, Donna? They bear false witness. Yeah, they're lying to us about our food. You think you go to the store and you're buying fresh fruits and vegetables because you know that's supposed to help build your immune system and all. And guess what you're finding out? It doesn't rot. Well, if it doesn't rot, it's not a lie. How do I know it doesn't rot? Cut an apple, okay? And if it's not turning brown on you within so many minutes, a half hour or whatever, you know it's not a lie. I bought a bag of broccoli. Broccoli crowns. They typically only last a week or so if I don't eat them right away. Well, I bought one a couple months ago, and I used it. I was using part of it, but I still had some of it left. And I pulled it out of the refrigerator. It had been well over a month, and it looked as fresh as when I bought it, which made me realize I was eating dead food. So there's no trust even in the food industry, in companies. And we can't accept it. That's the problem. When you lie, we lose that trust. And now what do we do?
Now what do you do? Wow, what a big problem that is. I mean, you have food that's not real food, and it's getting us sick. And then you have the food industry tied into the pharmaceutical industry where, okay, you can get the folks sick, and then we'll sell stuff to go on ahead and make them feel better, but we won't cure anything. You know, bearing false witness to someone is also some folks call use it as a tool of revenge. And when they think that this stunt will work, Confucius says about revenge, he says, before you embark on a journey of revenge, dig two graves. You know, in
I was just reading about the false accusations of a child molestation and custody battles, and it was in Canada. And there was a government study where the statistics showed that 2 out of 3 child abuse complaints were false. 2 out of 3. And you think about the devastation that of the life to the innocent parent, the destruction of the relationship between the parent and the child, not to mention the poor child, what confusion, humiliation they're experiencing. It's the child that's caught in the web. The web that we talked about, Sir Walter Scott, the web we weave. This is despicable type things. You do that out of revenge. You do bear false witness and lie out of revenge. Yeah, you should be digging two graves, all right.
You know, that's so sad, Donna, that the child never has any say in what happens to him. And that's the saddest part about it. And in Psalm 12, we find something really important to listen to. It says, help, O Lord. For the faithful are no more. The loyal have vanished from the human race. Those who speak lies to one another speak with deceiving lips and a double heart. Wow.
It's not a new thing, and God does try to warn us. In fact, in Proverbs, one of our favorite books that we like to call it, it says in Proverbs 13:5, it says, the righteous hates falsehood. Okay, they hate falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace.
Wow. The Bible just lays it down exactly the way it is, you know.
Right.
I found out in Psalm 119, Donna, it's a beautiful psalm. I'd like to read it to you if you want.
Please do.
Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, that I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteousness rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Now that is really hits the nail on the head for what we're talking about today in our podcast.
It does. And again, the bottom line is God said not to. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. Okay? And there will be consequences. We want to remind everyone, if you think about everything we do, everything you have to make a decision on, you have your circumstance that lead to choices. Now, then stop and think about those choices, because all choices have consequences. Those three C's again. When you realize that you need to stop bearing false witness, lying to someone, it's time to confess to our Lord God that you sinned. You need forgiveness and help in understanding why we do what we do. Remember, wait, we talked in our previous podcast that you have the ability to change your thoughts, which will change your behavior.
That's right, Donna. You know, we said that scientists told us we have neuroplasticity. That's our ability to change over time with our thoughts. And when you change your thoughts, you change your behavior. You know, like actions with positive affirmations. Hanging around with friends that help you. You know, get rid of the friends that don't help you. But most of all, read the Bible, because the Bible is the only way that we're going to obtain wisdom. And gather your friends and talk on Dr. Jack's real-time video conferencing and discuss and have an enjoyable time knowing that God is helping you align yourself with him because he loves you so much.
When we promote honesty and empathy, when we have a conflict of resolution skills that we try to do that among teenagers and to be honest with you, even adults, we can help mitigate, stop the behaviors or, you know, make people realize so that they can turn to our Lord and change those behaviors.
You know, Dr. Jack says, although the choices are difficult, the rules still remain the same.
You know, I do have another example for everyone just to think about. This is a true story about a woman who was trying to keep her kids from lying. And it was, I think it was a kid was 6 or 7 or whatever, and he just kept lying. She did all the normal punishment, send him in the corner, put him in timeout, take away his iPad, whatever, and it just wasn't getting through to him. So finally she turned the tables, and she took him to school. She says, before school, she says, if you're really good at school, I'm going to take you to your favorite place for your fries, which, you know, McDonald's, and he loved those McDonald's fries. So he goes off to school, spends a whole day, comes back in. What do you think the first thing he wants to do when he gets back in that car, right? He told his mom, he says, remember, you said if I was good and I was good, Mom, let's go to McDonald's. And she says, oh, no, we're not going to do that. He goes, but you said we were going to do that. And she says, I lied.
You
and
know,
that true story stopped the kid from, he finally got it. He finally understood.
I'm an advocate for tough love, Donna. And, you know, that's the way you should do it. There's too many parents that want to be friends with their children. That's the wrong way to go. But, you know, winding up here today, what I'd like to do is I'd like to read an affirmation of faith, if that's okay with you, Donna.
Please do. Please do.
It's from the Westminster Larger Catechism, and I read this at church the other day. And they ask, what is repentance unto life? And the answer is, repentance unto life is a saving grace, wrought in the heart of a sinner by the Spirit and Word of God, whereby, out of the sight and sense, not only of the danger, but also of the filthiness and odiousness of his sins, and upon the apprehension of God's mercy in Christ to such as are penitent. He so grieves for and hates his sins that he turns from them all to God, purposing and endeavoring constantly to walk with God in all the ways of new obedience. Wow, that's really sweet.
That's great. Well, I want to thank everybody. Please see us next week when we finish the Ten Commandments, and we hope you enjoyed our podcast this week. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Leon.
Thank you, Donna. Have a great week, everybody.
You too.